that, you know, coming to everything, Indian, American, yeah. Chinese, German.
So while on tour, you don't have a specific diet that you stick to for health reasons? You just eat?
I just try to make sure I don't eat anything after 6 p.m. So I have like 3 or 4 hours before the show, mm-hmm. where everything can settle. When we played Europe 8 weeks back, I more or less didn't eat at all, and I lost some weight for the very first mm-hmm. time on tour. That was good. I tried to keep away from alcohol as well, and that mm-hmm. was very supportive. I got sick anyway, so that helped as well, losing some weight. But at least I have the wish not to gain some weight here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough with American food. It is. There's so much crap in it. It's hard not to gain weight.
That's very true. That's very true. But we luckily went out. That's not a shopping mall. There's a very tiny little place you can get in at the Hallmarks on the other side of the street. You go in, and there is that square, and on the left hand you have a small cuisine, like a grill or something. Mm. And they have done spectacular breakfast. The girls working there, they were from Albania, women, you know, like 40, 50 years old. Mm. They did some great breakfast for us, so this was very healthy food, I would guess.
Cook for you, that's great. I had read in, I think, maybe even 2 interviews before your tour started that you said the band had around 30 songs to choose from to play. Mm-hmm. And I've been checking out the set list that you've been doing on this tour. Mm-hmm. And it seems that you're sticking to the same 5 songs to start out every show with. And then the remaining songs for each show, you've been interchanging some of the songs.
There's alternates.
The songs that you're sticking to, the first 5, is that because the band needs time to gel to sort of... you know, to work into a certain groove for the show?
Yeah. We could possibly exchange Born in the Morning Hall and play Welcome to Dying instead. Mm-hmm. Or we could leave out Script from a Requiem. That doesn't matter too much. But you have to have the convenience of 4 or 5 shows you pretty much have in the pocket, so you don't have to think about it. You can focus yourself more on the audience. And you see that. I feel that myself each and every night. The first 7, 8 songs, they are... very solid, and you know exactly what you're supposed to do and you know how the songs have to sound like, and you can communicate a lot with the people, while the ones you're exchanging here and there, you need to be far more focused on the playing than with the ones which have a stronger routine. All in all, I would say, considering Europe and Northern America as one part of the tour, we may have played 25 to 26 songs so far of the ones we could play. We skipped Turn the Page for a while because we have to do some vocal arrangements, but once we get closer to the end of the American shows, we start rehearsing it again during soundcheck, and then in Japan we will add that to the set list. So all in all, that's a long road. We will be playing until at least August 2007, I would rather say until October 2007, and we have to add some more songs
along with the tour gets anyway. What was the reason for only doing 3 songs from a new record while on tour?
Well, we do carry the blessed home from time to time, and as said, we planned on doing Turn the Page, but we had to postpone the idea. We never do more than 4 or 5 songs on your album. That's impossible, because you need to get comfortable with the songs. That's one reason. Mm-hmm. It's still something different to play a song like Valhalla or Nightfall or Another Stranger Me or This Will Never End. If you're in a bad mood, you will not fail with the old ones, but you may fail with new ones. So you keep that on a low level. We do that at least. The other reason is that some of the songs have to grow on the audience as well. So instead of, you know, introducing the new album on that tour, you may wait 1 or 2 touring periods before you really can do that. The reaction on the new songs is better than it has been on either Nightfall, Imaginations, or A Night at the Opera when we came by first time.
You mean
time.
Fan reaction to the new songs?
Yeah, yeah. In comparison, you know. Okay. Nowadays, of course, they
in comparison to the old material, there is a difference in the reaction and how they are received. Mm-hmm. But comparing back with what has happened back then, it's far better. So I think the album all in all is well received.
Are there songs on this new album that you feel just you don't want to do live because you don't feel it'll just translate well to the audience? Or is there, or you think you have the pick of any song you could do?
We possibly could, but it takes a lot of rehearsal always. Night at the Opera was far more difficult and still is because there was more of orchestration, there was more vocal layers.
Absolutely.
But even that would be possible. But again, it's always a question of rehearsals. And due to the fact that we either be in the studio, do promotion, or be on the road, we hardly ever rehearse. So for this tour, we have had like maybe 20 rehearsal days, that's all. And in between the years, we do not rehearse at all, apart from, you know, doing songwriting.
How much fan feedback plays into what you guys decide to play?
A lot, yeah. But...
Because I know you can't please everybody. You have to please yourself first.
Yeah. You have to.
You've got the blind guardian dorks like myself who worship the old stuff. You've got the people who just, you know, your new fans who just caught on in the past album or two. And you can't please everybody.
But you make a point. If you please yourself, you can be convinced you may please most of the audience. And some might be disappointed because you played one or the other song not. Mm-hmm. But you know which are the classics, and you can switch a little bit. Of course, it is. If you have a career like ours, there are like 5 or 10 songs which we haven't played for a long time and they would be worth to be played, but you rather prefer playing the ones which are set. So that's one of the reasons or one of the ways for us to choose songs. It's a question of like or dislike. You know, if we don't play Majesty every night, that doesn't mean we do not like the song, but we dislike it in terms of, you know, the spirit which we can deliver through that song nowadays, it has not the same potential for us playing it. So if it is demanded, we'd sometimes play it, but it would not be our first choice, certainly not.
Well, you're much better songwriters these days too. And yeah, well, from a fan point of view, you definitely are much better songwriters. And so I can imagine playing a song where, you know, you probably wouldn't write something like that these days because it's a little more simple, for lack of a better term.
It's not so much a question of simplicity, it's more a question of dedication to it and passion and faith in it. And if we listen to the song or we play it, it's really like, okay, that's not me anymore. You know, that's Valhalla is different, even though it's a very simple song as well. Mm-hmm. You still can relate to it easier, but it's very difficult for everyone on stage with Majesty. Maybe Oliver likes it, I don't know, but he might be the only one who really still feels a kind of passion for. No, not even him. No. So I'm not pretty sure.
I want to ask you about A Night at the Opera. I've been a fan of the band, huge fan of the band for many, many years.
Yeah.
A Night at the Opera was the first album where I was actually disappointed when I first heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been out for a few years now, and I still feel the same way, but it's easier for me to say that the reason why the album disappointed me is not necessarily the songs, it's the production.
Yeah.
And I've read, I think you and, I can't remember who else it was in the band, made remarks about, in hindsight, the production was probably not the right way to go for those songs.
Yeah.
Was that what you were trying at the time? Was that what you were trying to do? And did you get the results you wanted at the time? And you just feel, looking back, it wasn't the best? Or did it not work out?
There was no vision. The point was, we did great songwriting, and Andre and I have been convinced, we always are when we do songwriting, it's the best we've ever done. No problem about that. We were very convinced. Confident about what we've done as well, but we ourselves haven't spoken enough, and we couldn't spread the visions and clarify the visions we have had to the other guys. And we just thought naturally it would have been clear to everyone. It wasn't to Tom, it wasn't to Marcos, it was not to Charlie, it was not between me and Andre. And we didn't know. We thought we were talking about the same thing when we were spoken about the songs, but we weren't. So starting the production, we figured, oh, Tom did a completely different drum than he was supposed to do in many ways, because it was driving the song into a more complicated direction already, far more progressive than they had been. Doing that, the guitars were produced far heavier than they were supposed to. And that ended up in the massive guitar orchestration, which has been planned, but more in a dynamic way, which they finally did not turn out to be. They were more massive the whole way through. That caused problems during the production of the orchestration, which was also thought to be more dynamical as well. And when I had started the vocals, there was no space for the vocals left. And it was obvious, okay, you cannot come up with a single vocal line. I've had done all my stuff before, but in a smoother way of singing. So there was like the outrageous stuff, the high-pitching stuff. There was some mellow stuff. There was some clean stuff. That practically had been everything. And you still had the idea of particular parts which were supposed to be lead vocal parts. But, you know, after the mess we have created from the very first beginning, when we had to build up the whole thing, it was obvious that the vocals needed to be as majestic as the rest, and so we went for that massive choir wall rather than for...
That's a good way of putting it, massive choir wall, because first time listening to it, you know, 50th time listening to it, to this day, it I hear it is just massive. It's just... So yeah. Much all together.
But, and you know, you really have to observe it and just leave the vocals out and you will figure, well, there's a lot going on in all the other instruments. And to be more touchable, more visual, more audiophile, the vocals needed to have that. And we all agreed on it. So it was a collective mistake. But you know, nowadays lots of people just see the enormous amount of choirs in there, which was the biggest challenge I've ever faced in a studio situation. But as said, the mistake has been done in the songwriting and we haven't been aware of it. And don't call it a mistake, it was misunderstanding in between the band members, and that has never happened before, and we avoid that in the future, that's for sure. But going back to the songs, and you're right, the songs are great. A song like Wait for an Answer, even Precious Jerusalem, Battlefield, they're all just great songs. And I can't blame it to the producer, because Charlie Morfan, for example, saved a song like Battlefield. Or he saved most of the visions we have had for Then There Was Silence. So, in this direction, it was the perfect production. But for other songs, like Wait for an Answer, Punishment Divine partly, Under the Ice especially, it was definitely the wrong road we went. These songs are just great, and I still believe they have strong potential.
You know, I was thinking in an alternate universe, if you guys could go in and just remix the record, maybe not re-record it, but remix it or something, because I think the songs are there, and this is, you know, me speaking as a fan, it sounds so dense that a remix, you know, might, for me, work better. I mean, and then when I heard you guys, felt kind of a...
I am lost.
Hey, it's metal, it's louder. But I was thinking, you know, really something, because I want to hear those songs differently.
Yeah.
Because I want to have that album, I want to place that album high on the list like every other album you've done. Because I've never been disappointed in an album that I've ever heard by the band until this one. You know, and I thought, the songs are there, but it's just so much. So what you said, that massive wall, that's a great way of putting it. I never thought of it like that before.
I think if we have the chance, and we were asked that question, we would rather do that album than anything we've done before. There's no need to redo Nightfall and Middle Earth. And the point is, even sound-wise, Night at the Opera is a far more distinguished album than Nightfall Middle Earth is, or Imaginations, which have been done by Flemming Rasmussen. But the concept of the mixing, you know, which is not good for people who know something about the studio business, you know, about the production in general, the concept is just brilliant. It really comforts the music. I mean, that's basically what a production has been done for. But that makes Nightfall or Imagination such strong albums, from my point of view. Listening back to it, I would say, well, on Imagination, you hear vocals a little bit and drums. That's all you hear.
And well, on Imaginations, the drums are really loud and hard-hitting, yeah.
And
so I know what you mean.
Then on Nightfall, yeah, you have a little more of the vocals, but it's still a pretty focused album on parts of what we have done. It is a massive album. Nightfall is a very massive album, but it does not appear to so. And that's what we took for A Twist in the Myth as well. Quantity-wise, it is, I would say, 80% of what we've done on Night at the Opera, maybe 75%, but it's still really a lot, but you don't feel like it because we try to hide it a little more and make it more obvious due to the lead vocals, which is the easiest to relate to for any listener.
The Twist in the Myth. First time I heard it, I heard, okay, I hear the old Blind Guardian style in there.
Yeah.
I hear the mid-period elements like the past two records, and then some new styles for the parts that evoke some of the older Blind Guardian material. How much of that was a conscious effort, or was it just that's just what you wrote? I mean, did you try to put in?
We do not try, but we talk about things. As I said, I mean, we've learned from what went wrong during the Night at the Opera songwriting. So we have had discussions, Andre and I, most of the in charge of most of the songwriting, and we just look for, whenever we do songwriting, for the missing link. And this time it turns out to be clear, okay, we started relatively close to Night at the Opera, that's a song like Reinhardt or The Edge. Then we went completely freestyle, like, the first step was doing the Carry the Blessed Home, which still is more to the old direction, I would say. Then we went into freestyle, like Another Stranger, Me and Fly. During Fly, we at the same time wrote Otherland, which is also more epic Night at the Opera stuff. And then we start talking about what we need, and we just felt, well, there is a need for some more power metal stuff, and that's when we started working on stuff like This Will Never End and Turn the Page. So yeah, in many ways it is a discussion, but more about what we would need to make it a perfect album for ourselves, and it's about the pleasing yourself thing. And if you feel, well, I've covered most of what we would like to express as persons and as a band, then you're fine, then you're there. Comparing This Will Never End or Turn the Page with what we've done in the past, it's still not the same.
It's not the same, but it's still, I still get that feeling of, say, like the Imaginations album, and I'm listening to This Will Never End, you know, I still get that vibe,
yeah.
But it's not rehash, it's not a copy of it. It would be easy for you guys to write a song like that, but it's not the same, but it still retains that quality, and I noticed it right away as soon as I heard the songs you mentioned. I'm like, yeah, that evokes that old era, you know? But then you've got some other stuff, like when the first time I heard Fly, when the single was released, I'm like, you know, they're not rehashing anything here. They've got some new elements here, and that's great. There was a guy who doesn't listen to metal, doesn't know the band. He heard the song, and he's thinking, wow, you know, it's, do they like Queen, or are they into, like, well, now you're getting it. Yeah, of course, absolutely. Do you ever feel that the songwriting you do specifically for the band could ever go too far? Have you ever found yourself writing stuff for Blind Guardian that comes across as like, you know what, this is more than what we do? You know, I mean, do you write stuff that's just so far out there that's...
No. If that happens, and if you're really focused, like, for instance, in Fly, you feel yourself relieved, you feel yourself being in such a good mood, for whatever reason, it is a... If you touch something or scratch something really far out, then it finally turns out to be so special to you, you have to evolve that to a new album. still know where we are coming from. So I won't say we do stuff too far out of everything. And it is still the most enjoyable thing in the business to just write songs and not think about it. I think about, you know, coming up with an arrangement like Scars and Shadows. Yeah, then you start thinking, well, how can I do that? Even though the basic elements, they're natural. It's not like I say, well, I have to do a Bach song or the Past and Future Secret. But Andre comes to me and said, well, we need another Celtic song. And then I start, you know, doing picking patterns, and finally it turns out to be something similar to what we have done back then, without really having the idea of copying or getting close to it, too close.
Speaking of different stuff and other styles, what is the status of the orchestral project?
Well, basically we're done with songwriting for at least the first part, which means we have accomplished, I think, 11 songs. We may go for another one, I don't know yet.
When you say first part, you mean...
We go on. We continue that later on. You know, we have another 10 years in our career where we do regular Blind Guardian albums, but can do that in between, like Demons and Wizards, for instance. The problem is, it's not a problem. We're on tour so long, we have to postpone the whole thing until the end of the next year, and then we have to discuss the arrangements, because right now it's all composed for orchestra and for vocals. So that's the two elements we have, and we were talking about a possible involvement of the band, so that would be a third level, but we need to work on that first before we really can bring that in.
And when you say talking about involvement of the band, you mean on the level of, say, something like a Past and Future Secret?
No, that's really not the heavy band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's possible you can exchange stuff, you can do a lot. It's bombastic music, but it has a fairly different dimension than any of the other albums we have done, and it has that classical musical approach to it. So we still discuss whether we are supposed to do it as a pure Blind Guardian album, including orchestra, or as a conceptual thing outside of Blind Guardian. That's all pretty open, and we could do a musical with different vocalists. I could do it all on my own. It really depends. So that's all the stuff we have to deal with once we're finished with the tour. That is going to take at least another 6 to 7 months until it will be completely done. But I would not be surprised having that out before the end of 2008.
Oh, good.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. Okay, and looking even further ahead, so that means we're looking at, and I know Twist has not been out for very long, but I guess you would then, after you put out that record, would you do any touring for that? Or would you just want to concentrate on writing for another regular album?
We may do, when we have that orchestral album out, we may do a second Blind Guardian festival in Germany.
I was just going to ask that, right? It would be a great way for a dude to do it at one of these Blind Guardian festivals.
Yeah, the only way, basically, because just having another album out does not give you enough options. Of course, we could do two different set lists, maybe even three. Or we could do an acoustic session, but does it do the trick? I doubt. But the orchestral thing, just presenting it one or two times, that would be perfect. So, apart from that, no. I would leave that out and would go in for new songwriting, because then we're talking about at least 2 years period without songwriting for a new album, and considering the Twist and the Myth, we have to have at least 12 months scheduled for the next songwriting, then 6 months production, which would lead us to regular terms, and 4 years from now we have the next Blind Guardian album.
4 years? Oh, I can't wait! I'll be biting my nails. Oh, you know, the time goes by fast. I mean, it really didn't seem like the gap between Twist and the gap between Hot Gopher, it didn't seem that long. It really did.
To me as well.
And to me as a fan, I wait anxiously for albums from the bands I look forward to, and it didn't seem that bad to me. And it Was it 4 years?
4 years.
Yeah, it was 4 years.
It's exactly 4 years when we've been in the States for the last time.
Wow, has it been that long? Wow. See, time flies. Either that or there's too much metal for me to listen to and I get caught up with so much other stuff.
Yeah, but I think all the, you will see all the established metal, you can figure that already, who constantly release albums and fail you to, you know, too less attention to their songs. They all start within the period in between the albums. So I think we did right in doing so from somewhere far beyond on, and extending the period in between. And the fans will wait. Unless they won't get quality back, everything's fine with them. Even if they don't like about it, the opera, but they see the potential. You know, they see they. This band does not rip us off. They don't do the same thing again. And yeah, I do not like it, and I wish them to do something like Imagination from the Other Side. But at the same time, they respect that we have to go on. And so they keep the faith in the band, and that's very supportive for us.
I'm one of the fans. I love the old stuff. You know, I love the past stuff. But I'm not resistant to change. It just change doesn't always work for me.
Yeah.
For instance, I think Nightfall on Middle Earth is a different record for the band. I mean, to me, to go from Imaginations to Nightfall, I think there's a big change there. Some people don't see it. As a fan, I think there is a little bit of a change.
No, I would not say so.
Really?
It's more Celtic. I mean, it's more conceptual. But I always feel that it's...
Well, I mean, if you took out a few songs like, you know, Into the Storm or Mirror, Mirror, you know, just have, you know, like six or seven of the more faster upbeat songs, yeah, it's a little more along the lines of Imaginations. But I think you just pushed it so far that it was a change, and it worked perfectly for me. Night at the Opera seemed like a logical progression, you know, and the songs were there for, you know, the production didn't work. Twist, definitely a progression there, and it worked perfectly. I mean, I liked the progression from Opera to Twist more than the previous two records ago, and it just worked better for me. You guys have pushed the songwriting even further, but for me, I mean, perfect. I love the new record. It's not a bad song on there for me. It's not any songs where I'm like, I just don't want to listen to that. I mean, there are a couple of songs that are a bit different when I first heard, like, okay, now that's what I know what they meant when they said some of the songs are different, you know, but it still worked for me. So even though I'm one of the guys who wants to hear the old stuff, you know, pull out the old classics, I love the new stuff too. But going back to new releases, I guess a new DVD is not going to be anywhere in the future.
No.
Maybe after the orchestral, maybe recording the orchestral tour.
I just started thinking about recording some stuff during the tour, which we have not so far, well, not until we leave the US, but maybe when we go to South America, we will film and record a little bit, but just to have it for safety reasons. I do not like to have stuff like that out too often, so maybe in 5, 6, 7 years from now. And we would involve the orchestral issues, this issue, more like a historical thing, because we of course have a lot of footage from the past. Maybe not enough now, but if we add stuff, it certainly will be enough. And then we could do something potentially good. But now, right at the moment, I feel if we did that, we would probably lose.
Mm-hmm. All right. And what are... Either one band or several bands, you know, metal, non-metal, you know, anything that you guys would like to actually tour with?
Big band?
Anybody. And not necessarily even metal, but just somebody that you look up to that you, as a fan, would say, I'd love to tour with these guys. You know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense. So, I mean, basically, I would say the most beneficial touring would be Iron Maiden, that's no doubt, because we have a musical relationship, and still Maiden has a far bigger exposure, and we could benefit best from that. If it comes to personal taste, I would probably say I would love to tour with Deep Purple, Peter Gabriel. It really depends. But it wouldn't make sense at all. Maybe
you don't think so? I'm not that old, but you know, I was a kid in the 70s, and you know, back in the 70s, you could go to festivals and tours where you got different styles of music together, and people went to go see it.
And you, looking at it from that point of view, you're lucky here because your promoters, they still set up billings which are fairly different. Like, for instance, they would put up Slayer and maybe Blind Guardian as a support. And it could work, possibly. In Germany, that would not happen.
Really?
Nah. You would have In Flames or Lamb of God or something. Like the tour they just build up and, you know, delivered throughout the whole world. So that's the regular billing in Germany. You know, if you have a regular tour, the headliner usually is fairly similar to the support or the other way around. Otherwise, the record company would not believe they could have a big benefit out of it. So they really hope to get the same kind of customer.
How did Leaves Eyes get on this tour for the States?
Because we like to be different. I mean, we have had Asphodels in Germany or in Europe, and they are metal, but they're more the traditional Dio type of metal, like Sabbath. And I felt that went very well, and it went well for them, surprisingly. So people probably have to change their attitude and their ideas about the perfect billing. And that's the same thing, maybe even stronger with Leaf Eyes. We just love the idea to have a band which is doing a completely different thing. And so people, you know, have the chance to enjoy two different kinds of music in the same evening. I think it's pretty boring if they would Savage Circus, for example, support them.
Never heard of them.
I mean, personally, I like the band and I like the music.
Oh, but, I do too.
But it would be, instead of having 90 minutes or 120 minutes Blind Guardian music, it would be 300 or whatever.
Well, I will say good choice. I'm a big fan of Leaves Eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
Leaves Eyes are so great. I love their music. When I find out Blind Guardian making it back to the States and with Leaves Eyes, you know, this is tour of the year for me, without a doubt.
I appreciate that.
I'm very excited about this. So, this is the long shot, but will you agree with me that Nightfall in Middle Earth is the greatest album of all time?
Blind Guardian was, yes.
All time.
All time. I'm very proud about it. as a fan of music, I have my own faith. So.
Yeah.
I like the album, really. I can still listen to it. And I believe it's certainly one of the best metal albums.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm always, when people ask me, you know, what's the best metal album of all time, you know, I always got to say Nightfall in Middle-earth. You know, there are a couple others that I throw in there, too, like Emperor's Anthems and To Walk in the Dusk, you know, is perfection. But, you know, there's something about Nightfall from the moment I heard it, and to this very day, it's absolute perfection, you know, wouldn't change one second of it. It is just the perfect record, and if I had to give somebody a metal record who never heard metal before, I mean, I'd really mess with their minds by giving them Nightfall, but
yeah,
I do it.
I think you
because
would.
It's so great, but I think that's perfect because metal is such a diverse genre.
It is.
It really, really is.
But
and it's a diverse record, but it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's a perfect record. Would you feel that if somebody said, you know, I want to hear your band, would that be the record you give to them to introduce them?
Really? Maybe I would give that, and then it was Silence. And the Bard song certainly is something special. It means so much to so many people. But Nightfall would be the album.
Yeah.
I've never thought about another album, even if A Twisted in the Myth is a new album. And I cannot completely judge it at the moment, and I still relate it on the same level, like Opera, Nightfall, or Imaginations. Nightfall is for me the most complete album. But that's also the only album we really started talking about the lyrical concept early in the songwriting period. Usually we just go for the songs, I do my vocals, and André does his part, and at the very end I decide, well, that's lyrically something which could go that direction, this direction, blah, blah, blah. But in Nightfall we have had, like, I would say maybe 3 or 4 songs completed, and then I came up with the concept for Nightfall. And after that we worked on, emotionally and musically, we worked on that direction. So with a slightly different approach to the whole songwriting period from that point on. And we knew we may do something like Queensryche Operation Mindcrime with the narrators and the interludes. Some people do not like that. They think Imaginations is better because it lacks that. Yeah, I never felt like that because I like each and every word which is spoken on there. So I just, you know, think it's the most complete album we've done.
Yeah. Were you ever asked by any bookers or promoters to do a show where you do the entire album beginning to end?
No.
You've never been
not
asked
at all.
Would you ever consider it?
Yeah, I think about that. Again, the Blind Guardian Festival, mm-hmm. you could do something like that, or we had Lennon Wacken next year. It could be cool to do a regular set without any Nightfall stuff and then coming back for a longer encore and do the Nightfall thing with probably narrators, but I mean that's something to discuss as well. And since we're on the road,
I'd have to book my air flight now because I would be there for that.
It will be good anyway because our technical directors, they're all really good and they're focused on coming up with something which makes that whole thing even more theater-like. And we have to do something like that for Wacken to, you know, be different from what we have done in Europe a few weeks ago.